meteorologist Jennifer Vuchitsky on KOKK. Currently, it's 64.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Coming off a Friday night, so lots of high school football teams getting towards that half point of the season or past it already. Huron Tigers, with their 3-0 record, traveled out to Pierre, number 2 Pierre, the opponent in 11AA. Huron hoping to make another statement after their win last week over Harrisburg, not to be last night, as Pierre dominated beginning in the second quarter, opened the lead, went on to a 34-7 win. Huron had no answer for Pierre quarterback Garrett Stout last night. He ran for over 100 yards, passed for over 300 as Pierre cruised to the victory. Huron's one touchdown did come early, and it looked like it could be a game at the time. A 31-yard touchdown pass from Jet McGurr to Kobe Bush tied it at 7 at the time in the second quarter. Pierre drove right down and scored after that. Scored again with a few seconds to go at the end of the first half. Pretty much set the tone as Pierre dominated the second half, went on for the win. Both teams now 3-1 on the season. Huron returns home, and they'll have a game with a very strong Yankton team for homecoming next Friday night at Tiger Stadium. Yankton led top-ranked AAA Sioux Falls Roosevelt heading into the fourth quarter, but Roosevelt scored a couple of defensive touchdowns to take the lead and went on to a 35-22 win over Yankton last night. Other scores in double and triple A: Aberdeen defeated Rapid City Stevens 28-12, Brandon Valley 47, Rapid City Central 7, Brookings topped triple A Watertown 27-14, Harrisburg shut out Douglas 48-0, O'Gorman defeated Lincoln 39-7, and Washington rolled to a 49-12 win over Mitchell. Moving to the nine-man games around the area, Miller Highmore Herald defeated Ipswich Edmund Central, game we had on the air last night on KOKK. Rustlers win it 48-16, got off to an early start and cruised. Karst Hunter had a big night as he had a hand in four touchdowns. He had three touchdown runs, 70 yards, 2 yards, and 65 yards. Also tossed a 16-yard touchdown pass to Jarrett Blumenrader. Garrett Knox had a touchdown run, as did Reagan Bullwig and Dylan McDonald. For Hunter, he's 11 of 17 passing for 185 yards and had 15 carries for 257 yards as Miller Highmore Herald notched their first win of the season. They're now 3-1. Woolsey Wessington defeated Tiaspa Zena by a score of 50-0 last night. Sanborn Central Woonsocket Wessington Springs even their record at 2-2. They had a pair of second quarter touchdowns and defeated Redfield Dolan 14-8. Landon Walter a pair of touchdown passes, 14 yards to Trey Ulmer and 1 yard to Noah Dixon, and those scores held up as the Blackhawks picked up the win last night. Sunshine Bible defeated Iroquois 55-14. Sully Buttes in a shootout defeated Warner 58-40. Falkton edged Hitchcock Tulare 22-14. Del Rapids St. Mary outscored DeSmit 30-20. Nolan Coughlin with a pair of touchdowns for DeSmit. Clark Willow Lake rolled to a 58-7 win over Dakota Hills last night. That is the rundown of high school football scores from last night. Do have golf scores as well. Huron Tigers at the Mitchell Invitational, 18 teams involved, so a big tournament down there. Huron finished 13th overall with a team score of 330. Sioux Falls Roosevelt won the team title, but it was tight at the top. Roosevelt at 296, one stroke better than Spearfish, 297. Then third was Lincoln at 300. Rapid City Stevens fourth at 302. O'Gorman fifth at 304. Medalist was Ethan Vikander of Aberdeen with a 69. For Huron, Mason Roselle was tied for 41st with an 81. Nathan Gower, Landon Roberts both had 82s. Jacob Weed an 85. Will Smith an 87. Marty Botel a 95 to lead Huron's effort. Huron, of course, heading to the ESD tournament. Huron will host the ESD at Broadland Creek next Saturday. We turn to the schedule for today. Well, a big cross-country meet going on in Huron today. Huron Cross Country hosting the annual Clyde Cotton Huron Invitational. I believe it's the 57th annual event. 19 teams are scheduled to be in Huron, and over 1,000 athletes, as there'll be varsity, junior varsity, and middle school races, all part of the docket for today. They have changed the schedule around a little for that due to the expected heat today. The varsity is going to run first, so at 9 o'clock will be varsity girls, then boys, and then just on a rolling schedule, we'll have JV girls, then boys, then middle school, junior high, then boys, and everything out at Broadland Creek, and we'll be busy out there today with the cross country. We have volleyball on the air tonight. Huron Tigers hit the road. They'll be at Aberdeen. We'll shoot for the 7 o'clock start, 6:40 pre-match on 1340 KIJV and Tiger 95. Oldham Ramona Rutland is at Sanborn Central Woonsocket today. The Central South Dakota tournament's being held in Pierre as well. Huron Tiger Cheer and Dance is headed to Brookings for an invitational today. Tigers will host their own Cheer and Dance invitational on Tuesday. Soccer, Douglas Rapid City Christian is at James Valley Christian today. So that is the rundown of our local schedule. Do have a couple of announcements that we do want to pass along. 1 week from today is the annual Huron High School Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Tickets are on sale now at the activities office at the arena. Cost is $20 for one, $35 for two. Your tickets will be available at the door, but if you do plan to attend, they would like you to buy the ticket in advance so they can get a head count for the meal. Inducted this year as athletes, 1999 graduate Stephanie Cheddar, 1992 grad Josh Sammons, coach the late Bob Tim, contributor Gary Harrington, and going in as a team, the 1974 state champion boys golf team. Again, that induction ceremony at the arena a week from today, September 22nd at 5 o'clock. Another announcement to pass along, Ambush Basketball is hosting a one-day basketball camp Monday, October 8th from 9 a.m. till noon. Registration is $67, and all participants will receive a $1,000 college scholarship. It's for selected schools, including Dakota Wesleyan, University of Sioux Falls, Morningside, Briarcliff University, Creighton, among others. Camp will be at the Nordby Center for Recreation. It is open for boys and girls 3rd through 12th grade. You can answer at sdccamps.com and search here on South Dakota, or stop by the Nordby Center for Recreation. Minnesota Twins continued their series in Kansas City last night. Twins had a 4-3 lead going into the bottom of the ninth inning, but Kansas City tied it and then won it on a walk-off grand slam by Salvador Perez. Twins and Royals again tonight. That'll be a 5:30 pregame here on KOKK. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, be talking here on Tiger Athletics. Football coach Michael Schmitz will join us, volleyball coach Shelley Budenhagen, also Angie Thomas, head cross country coach. That'll be Dakota Sports Saturday coming up at about 8:15 this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we lead off with Huron Tiger football head coach Michael Schmitz coming off first loss of the season last night. Peer Governors came out with a very good game plan. Huron played a little tight, and it showed as Peer wins 34-7. And coach, overall, maybe some lessons learned out of that. You know, a little pressure when it comes with the number one ranking for the first time, and who knows how long a 3-0 start for the first time, who knows how long, and maybe it shouldn't take nothing away from Peer's effort because that was a solid effort, great game plan, but kind of showed last night.
Yeah, definitely. The kids, Peer's kids had some, they got some talent and they know what they're doing, and Coach Steele had their offense and defense kind of ready to go, and you know, I think we came out pretty tight, you know, just really hesitant with some things. We didn't play our traditional style, and that kind of slowed us down right away.
You know, and that's the thing. When you came in this morning, you said, I watched some of the film last night, and you felt, well, we're going to see a lot of missed assignments. We're going to see a lot of guys not doing what they're supposed to do. That wasn't really the case. If anything, as I said, we played a little tight. We played conservative. As, you know, the old saying goes, played not to lose instead of win.
Yeah, and I think just the pressure right now had kind of gotten a little bit to the kids especially, you know, just never, not being here before. And they came out pretty tight, and the assignments were there. We had guys covered a lot of times. We just couldn't pull the trigger or couldn't get after it just enough. I mean, it was little, just really little things.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of the long pass plays that Pierre had, you know, were in position. The quarterback, Garrett Stout, who had a monster night last night for Pierre. He was fitting balls in tight windows. You felt we had some coverage. There was one broken coverage on the long touchdown pass, but it was just so close, the margin of error.
Yeah, definitely. He was putting balls in spots that I don't know if I've ever seen him do that before, or many quarterbacks do, just putting it just a foot above a hand and just below another defender coming in. And it was just small things that we just couldn't quite get to.
You know, and, you know, a couple of different spots there that you can look back at. And I thought the biggest one for me was almost even more so than Pierce's score at the end of the first half is when we scored. We recovered a fumble. We got down. We had a fourth down touchdown pass, 31 yards, McGurr to Bush. We tied at 7. And we feel, okay, now hopefully this relaxes everybody. We're in position here, and we kick off to Pierre, and they just drive it right down the field and go back ahead instead of, I hope we'd come out with a little more intensity, but Pierre just drove right down the field.
Yeah, and you know, they had a good game plan. You know, they kind of knew where they wanted to go and trying to get their fits. And just we were trying to do what we could to get our kids into the best position to make plays that they can make.
You know, and obviously that score at the end of the half, that's always just a tough one, especially when the team that scores then gets the second half kickoff, so you basically get back-to-back possessions. So that's what they did, back-to-back possessions, to kind of put the game out of reach at that point. But again, I just go back. Pierre had, I think you said, they were well over 50% running the ball, and they threw the ball, I think, 29 times, completed 21 last night. So, you know, they came out with a different look, I assume, than what you saw on film previously.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, a couple of the formations that I thought they really liked, you know, percentage-wise by the data, you know, they didn't even run. So I wasn't thrown by that, but I was kind of surprised that they didn't come out in their quad set and a couple other sets that they like to run. But, yeah, they were pretty balanced looking at the numbers and stuff like that throughout the season. They stayed really balanced, and last night they kind of slung it around as much as they could.
You know, and they took advantage. They had some tall, physical receivers, and, you know, at a couple of points I felt they were catching passes just by doing an old-fashioned box out in basketball where they kept themselves between the defender and the ball, and that made all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they had good position, and we had kids there, you know, a lot of times. We missed a couple tackles and missed some things, but the kids were in the right spot, you know, most of the time. It's just we couldn't quite finish it.
You know, and a silver lining out of it, I guess, you can contend with physical mistakes. They're going to happen. It's the mental mistakes that normally drive a coach mad. And like I said at the beginning, as you've watched so far on film, you didn't really see the mental mistakes, or at least not what you're expecting to see. So at least we know, you know, that everything's correctable.
Oh, yeah, and we've definitely got some things to build off of, you know, and the kids know it, I think. Talking with them after the game, you know, they know that this is a loss and we're going to move on and move forward, and we've got more things to accomplish yet this year.
Now, one thing that comes under the radar, and I think I got my numbers right here, and to me this is the biggest difference between this year and last year. We did not turn over the ball last night. We recovered two fumbles. We are now plus 10 on turnover ratio. We've had 14 takeaways, and we've only given the ball away ourselves four times now. So, you know, that's something that wins you a lot of games down the road. As I said, it kind of got hidden in last night, but, you know, that's something these kids can hang their hat on. That is plus 10 on turnovers, just four games in the season. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's always hard to talk defense and offense because we share all the same kids. You know, they all play on both sides. But, you know, to not turn the ball over is huge. And then now that we have this, we have such a high expectation that we're going to get the ball a couple times on defense. You know, we're just expecting that, you know, that we're going to get either fumbles or interceptions or we're going to take the ball away at some point.
Well, get it wrapped up. I know you got to get out to Broadland Creek here for cross country, but just look ahead quickly last night. Homecoming week, not the favorite week for the coach. I think Coach Steele said it best. It was Pierce homecoming last night, and he says he wasn't worried about kids being ready to go on Friday, but he said it's just the 400 things they got going on Monday through Thursday. But kids just have to know that the football game is a big deal there next Friday night.
Yeah, definitely, and I think our kids understand that too. You know, they're going to be busy because they have a lot of things that they get to do and should do. I mean, especially as a high school athlete. But they also do know that the game is the big deal for us as a team, and I think they'll be ready.
And then Yankton, they pushed Roosevelt, top-ranked in AAA last night, led going into the fourth quarter. Roosevelt got a pair of defensive touchdowns to take the lead and then got a late touchdown to Salted. But obviously Yankton really starting to come around, and I hear they throw the ball a bit.
Yeah, they don't really want to run the ball a whole lot. Even talking with Coach Steele last night, you know, they played Yankton, if I remember right.
Yes.
He said they
came from behind to win.
Yeah, they throw the ball more than he ever anticipated. So we'll have our hands full with that, and we'll have some things, kind of new things thrown in and see what we can do.
And what's your job across country today?
I think I'm a course marshal.
Which means, what's that? You're like the cop out there, or what?
I think kind of, sort of, yeah. I go help and do whatever I'm told, I guess.
Michael Schmitz, head coach here on Tiger Football, 34-7 loss last night to Pierre, gets set to host Yankton homecoming next Friday. We'll take a break, come back, talk here on Tiger Volleyball next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Tiger 95 is teaming up with Craig Lee Studios to give you a chance to win. Snap a selfie at any Huron Tiger home game. Share your selfie to Instagram using hashtag HuronSelfies. Weekly winners will receive a six-pack and a pound from Taco John's. Two grand prize winners will receive a $500 photo session credit from Craig Lee Studios. Share your selfies to Instagram using hashtag HuronSelfies and cheer on the Huron Tigers.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back as we continue on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talked with Shelly Buddenhagen, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, as they get set to go to Aberdeen tonight and have a record now of 7-2 on the season. That's right, 7-2.
7-2, yeah.
Oh, so we are keeping track.
I just happened to look last night, actually.
Well, coming off a win Thursday and a win against Harrisburg last Saturday, Thursday, the win over Brookings second meeting there. And I know you saw some good steps forward. While we did win in four against Harrisburg, it was kind of a ragged game, really, both sides. I think Coach Costain would say the same thing on her side, but we did come out with the win. And things looked a little crisper then against Brookings on Thursday.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's okay to win ugly, too, because you learn things. And it's
A win ugly is a win.
Yeah, exactly. Then you only have to win by 2 points. And so we felt that the Harrisburg thing, we learned from that, and we, you know, adjusted a few things. And we're working on certain areas, you know, looking towards the end of October, beginning of November, that we want to get better at. So, you know, the blocking's the first thing. Our passing, we really wanted to, you know, work on there, too. And so those two areas, the last two matches, we worked hard at, and I thought we showed pretty good improvement against Brookings. And, you know, honestly, the Summer Slam at the very end of July, we were playing Plinko when we were blocking, and our back row didn't have any chance back there. And what I mean by Plinko is, if you remember the game from...
Yeah, it goes down,
down, boom, all over the place. We couldn't score. It was killing us. So I think the kids have been working really hard at that, and I'm really happy with their improvement. And it's progress.
Well, a few things we saw there from Thursday, and I guess Holly Neas just had a solid night at the net. And then we just got different spurts from different girls to play off of that. Libby Rounds late. McKenna Moore had a couple, including a nice smoke shot to end the first set that clinched that one for us. So you know, that's what we're kind of building to. We need to find that second and third option. We have girls capable of it, and we're starting to see some signs there.
Well, you know, a lot of those other peripheral hitters are young, and they don't have a lot of experience. And so their youth, you know, shows at times. And you know, sometimes, and I don't mean this by any way, but sometimes they say the best thing about sophomores is they turn into juniors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to just keep being patient and let them learn a little bit, too. And I like the way that Libby's really coming along. You know, she's doing some really good things, some very quiet things, and all of a sudden she pounds one down line really hard. And I think her blocking is one thing that's really, really improved. She's starting to see the hitters a lot better. Her timing is better. I think she's starting to understand what her role is at the net, or what she's supposed to be doing, or what she's supposed to be accomplishing. So I'm really happy with the way Libby has improved. And, you know, if you notice, one of the tweaks that we made was we moved her pretty much out of the right for most of those rotations, and now she's playing middle. And you have to be fast, and you have to be quick, and you got to be able to read and see the game pretty well to be playing middle. And then that means she's also starting the offense. So, you know, she's supposed to be making the first call when we're audibling on free ball and that kind of stuff. So, in serve receive, that's the setter that's calling the plays. And, you know, so I think Libby's made great strides. And then, you know, you get McKenna just doing a steady job, and we're waiting for her to bust out a little bit. You know, she had a pretty good freshman year last year, and sometimes you get that sophomore jinx a little bit. I think she's feeling some of the pressure that I should be doing this, you know. And we're pretty happy with the way McKenna's performing, and we're looking for her to bust out here, too. And you've got Brooke, you know, Brooke Schultz, who's, you know, just does things. Sometimes it's just, you know, beyond her years. And so we've got kids making contributions, and you know, so we're just going to look to get better. And you know, tonight's going to be a huge challenge for us in a couple ways.
Yeah, talk about Aberdeen. They've got a solid program out there. We all know that. They've won a couple of state titles here. They are fairly young this year, but even with that, they still have experienced players coming back. And like everybody else except Huron, they're tall.
Yeah, they don't rebuild. They just reload, you know. And we didn't want to talk about Aberdeen too much until the time came. But, you know, I could hear some of the kids going, you know, who do they have? You know, what do they have coming back? And, well, so the last night we explained it, who they all have coming back. They've got a Kusler, 6'6" on the outside.
Well, you just know there's always going to be a Kusler.
Yeah, you've got a Goff that's a senior now, has been playing since she's a freshman, and she's played right, she's played middle, and now she's playing the left. You know, Aberdeen likes to put their big hitters in the left and just pound on the ball. They've got their two middles back in Hofer, who's, if anybody remembers Marwin Hofer, who played basketball here.
Oh,
you think about that. Goff on the outside is a daughter of one of the Huron High School grads, and now you've got a Hofer, Brittany Hofer, who's Marwin Hofer's daughter. There's two Huron High School grads, kids that we're going to be playing. I coach Trisha Bain, that's Goff's mom. And then
Trisha Bain here on High School Hall of Famer, too.
Absolutely, and wasn't she All-American up at Northern?
Yes.
And then Marwin Hofer, real good basketball player, played on the state championship team.
81.
In 81, very good. And so
played college at Wesleyan as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of grew up watching him. He was older than me. I'm happy to say he was older than me. But
so am I.
So, but anyway, so that's kind of cool. And then they've got a Didi on the outside too, who played a little bit last year. So they're filled. I mean, again, they don't rebuild; they just reload. And so when we talked about those names last night, the kids went, "Oh, yeah, we remember those names." And then they've got a new setter, a sophomore, a little lefty, and then their libero is a sophomore. So basically, that's where they're new, is those two positions. So that's hard to believe that they, you know, you think, okay, Burkhart's finally gone, and now they've just I get Kusler filling that role. So,
well, as you look ahead too, you know, it's Aberdeen on the road tonight, then Mitchell on the road Tuesday. Almost like getting a little taste of the old District 3 here.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel like the rivals that it used to be, but
well, it's always going to be with Mitchell, regardless.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and even Aberdeen still. I mean, we still have.
You just don't watch Aberdeen and hear Aberdeen and Mitchell and Pierce scores like you used to, because you need to watch everybody now, and not just those other three teams in the district.
It's weird to look up the website and just see 1 through 18.
So you are looking at the website.
I did just last night. I hadn't, and which brings up this now, which this is. We briefly talked to the team about, you know, we've beaten the teams that we're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've lost to the teams that are basically above us. And so right now, if you look at those power rankings, Aberdeen is fifth. And I don't want to put a lot of, I mean, you know, importance on this at all by any means. But we talked a lot about it's time to rise up here now. We get to play the teams, and now we're expecting to try to win those games. And that's a tough balance when you talk about, let's just worry about the process, but we have a chance to win, you know. And so we softly touched on that kind of stuff, just to put that out there that, you know, we think we're good enough to compete with those teams. Do you think we're good enough to compete with these teams?
Well, just a solid test here. You know, the start, you really, if I would have told you 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, you'd be coming in here to Aberdeen at 7-2, you would have taken it, and, well, here we are.
I'll take it right now. I mean, yeah. here we are. Again, I don't know if we're just pretenders or contenders yet. I think this stretch here now with Aberdeen and Mitchell, we'll find out. Even if, you know, we don't win, but we're playing really, really well in these matches at this time of the season, I'd be really, really happy, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. That may be the dumbest thing I've said all season. But, you know, I'm just looking forward to the kids competing hard. And then Mitchell's got a lot of excitement now that Mac Miller's back, too. I'm looking forward to how we compete these next two matches. And I thought on Thursday we looked like we were having a ton of fun from, you know, the bench to the score table to us. I thought it was just a fun atmosphere. And so we're hoping that we can emulate that kind of enthusiasm for playing a sport that we really love. And I think this team is really starting to fall in love with each other. They like being on this team.
Shelly Budnagan, well, I'll let you go here. You got to give a speech in front of people today.
Yeah, something like, yeah, some state convention over at the Crossroads.
State Extension, I think you said?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Extension Community Education Leadership something like that. But I get to talk about aging gracefully. I don't even know what that means.
Gee, I wonder why they didn't call me. This is what happens when you don't age gracefully.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or what I'm supposed to be.
I'll be column B. You'll be column A. That'll probably work.
This is going to be interesting. Aging gracefully.
So you went out and worked out this morning.
I don't know. Trying to get something flowing there. But, yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. We do have a practice this afternoon, too, so before we take off on the bus. So, but thanks. It's good talking to you.
Shelly Budning, head coach of the Tigers. Again, volleyball tonight at Aberdeen. We'll shoot for the 7 o'clock start, 6:40 pre-match on 1340 KIJV and Tiger 95. We'll preview the Huron Invitational Cross Country, which is starting here at about 9 o'clock. We'll talk to Angie Thomas next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
We're gonna win, win, we're gonna score.
Minnesota Twins, Kansas City Royals continue the series in KC. 5:30 with the pregame, 6:10 with the first pitch tonight on Dakota Sports.
This is Corey Provis, and you're listening to the home of Minnesota Twins baseball, 1210 Dakota Country, KOKK.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk Huron Tiger Cross Country. The girls and boys hosting the annual Clyde Cotton Invitational 57th event out at Broadland Creek today. And that's attracting teams from across South Dakota and all three classes, it looks like, participating as well. We'll get to that in a moment here. But first off, Angie, you're about, what, 3 weeks or so into the season. Just kind of give your scope here right now. You have a couple dozen kids out between the girls and the boys. And most importantly, you do have some kids now that have been running with you for a while.
Yeah, I have a good handful of kids that participated in our summer running and strength program. And we did. We ran 4 days a week all of June and July. We did have to take a week off over the 4th of July. But, I mean, these kids have put a lot of hard work into it. And their times are showing that. I mean, they're running a minute, 2 minutes faster at this time of year compared to last year. So it's great.
Well, I just look at some of the names here, and as I said, you know, these are kids that have been out with you or have been with you for a while. For the girls, Sammy Schultz, Braylee Thomas. For the boys, Frank Hines. So it's good to get that retention. I know that you're still striving to get more of those younger kids who come out to stay out.
Yeah, and that's always an issue that we've had here. Huron has so many great sports, and even with marching band offered in the fall. So, I mean, I hate to say that we want them all to come out for cross country, but yet I do. But we have a lot of kids that are involved in a lot of other great activities in the fall. So it is hard to keep the kids out, but I truly believe, I mean, this year, like I said, the kids that are running, when we went to Aberdeen, Frank, Sammy, Carlos, I mean, those are kids that ran over a minute. Sammy was 2 minutes faster than she was the year before there. And then I even looked down with my middle school kids that ran the 3K, and they ran anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes faster than the year before. So, I mean, these kids that participated over the summer, they're seeing the benefits of doing that. So hopefully that gets them excited to want to stay out and keep pursuing it.
Well, let's talk about some of the kids first off. We'll start off with the girls' side. You have a senior there in Samantha Schultz that leads you, been with them. She's always been out for cross country as far as I can remember. Then Braylee Thomas also has been running as well. So behind those two, that's a good core to start with.
Yes, definitely. Sammy has been with us in sixth grade. Braylee joined us as a seventh grader. And, again, both of those girls ran and lifted all summer long. We combined with the T3 program, so Coach Zach Campbell did workouts for us. And those girls have really taken advantage of that. And, like I said, Sammy went 2 minutes faster in Aberdeen than she did the year before. Braylee was injured, but still was running faster than what she ran, you know, in Brookings and Watertown later in the year. So, I mean, the results are really good.
And talk about the rest of the girls' roster there, who we kind of want to fill in here now as we get into the stretch run of the season where you do want to field a full team. I know 8th grader Victoria Buffington, you ran her at the Nike meet last weekend in Sioux Falls. So, you know, that's a big meet, and obviously it wasn't too big for the 8th grader.
No, Tori really steps up, and she's a competitor, and she's a very smart racer, too. She ran at Andy's Road Race as well and had a PR there by over a minute in her 5K, and then she was only a few seconds off that PR when she ran at Nike, and we had Aberdeen just 2 days before that. But Tori is a competitor, and she's a smart racer. So that she's a great addition to have with Sammy and Braylee. I am looking. I still need two more girls to fill a team, and I have Gwen Nichols, who is new to us this year. She's a freshman, so I'm looking for her to be able to step up by ESD and be able to run that 5K position. And then after that, I just have some other middle school girls that I'm kind of looking at right now to see which one of those girls I can pull up so we can fill a team at ESD.
Then go to the boys, Frank Hines, again, that's been with you for a while, and then somebody I did forget to mention until you mentioned him earlier, Carlos Yanes, a kid that just kind of came out last year, and you've been sharing him with soccer. So you mentioned earlier these kids are busy. Carlos is one of them.
Yeah, and Carlos was able to join us a handful of times over the summer to run with us. So he's not coming into this season without having any running under his belt, unlike last season. So Carlos, I mean, that's great to have Frank and Carlos, those two seniors up there leading the way. And, again, they ran over a minute faster in Aberdeen than they had the year before. And then coming up behind them, Angel Olivo Porteo, who is an eighth grader, he ran with the JV varsity runners all summer. And I can't even tell you how much he's improved since his seventh grade year. In fact, he only ran middle school races last year, and now this year he's only running JV races, and he's placing in all those events.
We'll talk a little about how you want to fill out that boys roster then, too. As I said, you want to make sure you do have complete teams there, especially ESD and state.
Yeah, I have two freshmen that and Will Radke, who he's been with us since he was a sixth grader. He also played football his seventh and eighth grade year. So this is his first year that we've had him strictly as a cross-country runner, and he is running phenomenally as well. And then the next spot will go to Gonzalo Quispe-Laura right now, and he's also a freshman, and he joined our team as an eighth grader. And ran with us all summer as well, and taking a ton of time off his previous PRs. So, I mean, I got a good group of runners when it comes to the boys' side. It's just my younger ones, I don't know, we'll see how they hold up when they run with the big boys.
Again, we're talking with Angie Thomas, head cross-country coach for Huron. Let's talk about the Huron Invite 57th annual event. And, boy, I didn't realize just how big this meet's has gotten. 19 teams are going to be in Huron for the meet, and over 1,000 athletes when you break it down to the JV and the middle school divisions as well as varsity.
Yeah, this is always a great meet that we can get out and see the great competition around South Dakota. It's not divided up into classes. So we have James Valley that's going to be there, and we have our Sioux Falls, Washington, and some Rapid City schools that will be there. So it's definitely good competition for us. We're able to see six of our ESD schools participate, so we can run against them before ESD, and that's really nice. And, yeah, come on out. The competition will be great today.
You know, you said also for your younger kids especially, it'll be an experience there because that start, and we usually talk about this basically for state, but it's going to be come into play now here with the Clyde Cotton as well, is that that start can be very intimidating when you have that many kids on the line.
Yeah, they'll have over 100 kids on the line, and that's very comparable to what state will be. And other than a handful of runners that I took to the Nike Heartland preview, that's going to be a brand new experience to them, and it's very intimidating. If you're in one of those middle boxes, you are surrounded by 100 other kids. So it is intimidating, and it's good that these kids have a chance to see that before we get to bigger races.
Well, Well, let's kind of wrap it up and just look ahead here. Now I almost look at the Huron Invite as almost being close to the middle point of your season, because once you get there to October, it's ESD, then State with that five-star sandwiched in between. Talk a little about your goals here. Obviously, you have a good core to work with. It's just, can they find that effective fourth, fifth, or even sixth runner to help you out in some of those meets down at the end of the season?
Yeah, our core is, you know, they're ready. They're ready to go, and I believe by October I'm going to start backing off the workouts a little bit, and so they'll have fresher legs going into October when we get ready for EFD and State. And I'm not really worried about our core runners. If they can keep their head in the game and stay healthy, I think they'll be just fine. I mean, I really believe that we can get some kids in the top 15 at EFD and even the top 25 at State this year. I just have to make sure they stay healthy and, you know, they have to keep their head in the game. It's definitely a mental sport as well. But filling out the girls' side, that will be hard. I lost a couple girls that ran State for me the last couple years. Even they didn't go out this year. So I'm going to have to really search for those other two girls. But like I said, Gwen Nichols has been working pretty hard. I believe I can pull her up, and I've seen some good things from Tatum Peterson, who is a seventh grader. She might have to come up and fill that fifth spot. And as far as the boys go, I think I have a good group of five boys. But like you said, it'd be kind of nice to get that sixth, even seventh. I mean, I can run seven. It'd be nice to have it.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country, 57th annual Clyde Cotton Huron Invitational is today. Starts at 9 o'clock this morning at Broadland Creek Golf Course. A total of 19 teams in all three classes in South Dakota are represented among the 19 teams. Schedule is a rolling start, JV girls, then boys, varsity girls, then boys, then middle school girls, then boys, 4,000 meters for JV, 5K for varsity, 2,400 meters for middle school. So a lot of kids, they figure over 1,000 will be competing out of Broadland Creek today. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday for today. Coming up tonight, we have Huron Tiger Volleyball at Aberdeen. We'll shoot for a 7 o'clock start, 6:40 pre-match on Tiger 95. Twins Baseball coming up at Kansas City. And that'll be a 5:30 pregame coming up tonight here on KOKK. Mike Henriksen and the SportsMax coming up shortly. Up next, though, will be Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.